Yesterday, I was listening to Governor's Report, and I was shocked to find out it was only on March 1st New York had its first confirmed case. It was only 8 days ago, March 20th, that we were ordered to stay home. Only began about 8 days ago. It really feels like it's been a long time, longer than that. But it's been only 8 days, and just like you, we've been staying home unless you had this essential business. And some of the lighthearted moment came when I read this journal. In Belgium, in Europe, one of the necessities that were ordered to open was French fry stand. Belgium French fries stand was part of necessities, the essential business. For French, it was wine. For Dutch, it was marijuana shops that were ordered to open and coffee shops. For Belgium, I don't know. Belgium, I thought it was just the chocolate. But one person said, fries are a necessity. As long as Mac Drive is open for Americans, the fry stand must stay open for the Belgian people. It was a funny thing for me. And, you know, right next to my wife's work, the liquor store is open because the liquor store is obviously essential business in New York. But many of us, we think about many things during this shut-in times, and we think about danger of our lives and our jobs, our future, safety of the loved ones. We think about these things, and obviously they do take toll on our emotional and mental health. And there's a real danger of depression and anxiety. So where do we turn to? Where should you turn to alleviate these stress? Cuomo said this, the New Yorkers are smart. New Yorkers are tough. We are all in this together, and we will get through this together. Something like that. What about Christians when you turn to other pastors and Twitter feed? And they say, trust in God, comfort in God, and pray. People say these things. But I would say this. The greatest comfort lies in Christ's suffering. And let me read you a verse. 2 Corinthians 1:5 says this. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. There is no comfort of Christ, obviously apart from Christ, but there is no comfort of Christ apart from sufferings of Christ. And there's no comfort of Christ apart from the sufferings of Christ that is not ours. So he says, just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. So I suggest to you, wherever you are, during this time of, for lack of a better term, I will use the term crisis, meditate upon Christ. And as you go deeper into Christ, that's when you will find, just as the word says, abundant comfort of Christ through the suffering of Christ that is ours. And I pray that you will go deeper into Christ. This is the time that you go deeper into Christ and his suffering. And that's where you will find Christ's comfort for you. So when you think about Christ's suffering, what do we think about? What do you think about? Normally we think about Christ's spiritual suffering and physical suffering. Spiritual suffering, something like this. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So we think about Christ's spiritual suffering as Son of God who is sinless God-man, taking up the man's sin. By the way, this man's sin is not in general public sense, but the church, the elect's sin. So Christ taking upon the church's sin upon himself, we think about the agony of Christ in that spiritual sense. But also we think about Christ's physical suffering. right? We think about nailing of Christ and how the cruelty of that suffering and the shameful execution that he had to suffer. So we normally think about spiritual suffering and physical suffering of Christ. But today I want to briefly talk about the dark side of the moon. The dark side of Christ's suffering that we do not think about often is Christ's mental suffering, Christ's emotional suffering. That is something that we do not normally think about and talk about. We talk about spiritual suffering of Christ. We talk about physical suffering of Christ. But when it comes to mental and emotional suffering of Christ, we do not have category to understand that. But by and large, I am sure many of you are stressed out, anxious about future, anxious about what we are going through. But I am here to tell you, Christ went through emotional suffering as well. And it is a great comfort to you and me knowing that Christ suffered in mental way, in emotional way, so he could identify with us and he could sympathize with us. So that part, dark side of Christ suffering, that mental part, that emotional part that I want to talk about. As you have read from Gethsemane, Jesus said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." Jesus said, "My soul is deeply grieved." He didn't say, "My body is aching, my muscle is aching." But Jesus said, "My soul," the Greek word psuche, "is deeply grieved to the point of death." Another translation says this, "My soul is swallowed up in sorrow to the point of death. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." Obviously, Christ thinking about the cross. But also, I think we could relate to what Jesus is saying here to what we are going through. Lord, we are really stressed out. We are really anxious. I am actually afraid of what we are going through, what our children are going through, what our family members are going through, what our neighbor is going through, what New York City and New York State is going through. Sometimes we have to put brave face on and to tell them, to tell our children, it is going to be okay. We are going to get through this. But deep inside, many of us, I think we are deeply afraid. But know that Christ also said, "My soul is deeply grieved." And he knows what it means to suffer mentally and emotionally, being afraid, thinking about this future. And that's where our hope lies. Jesus' suffering included his emotional and mental suffering. And that mental suffering, that emotional part, didn't start at Gethsemane. As you have read Isaiah 53, verse 3, he was predicting a future Messiah. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. So I want you to know, Jesus didn't begin to feel the sorrow of his soul at the end of his earthly life at Gethsemane. No. According to the scriptures, he knew about his future suffering, so he was acquainted with grief even when he was young and as he was living his life for 30 years, as you know. He was acquainted with grief. So think about Christ. During this time, think about Christ suffering, but Christ suffering in emotional and mental state, and it didn't begin at Gethsemane, in Gethsemane, no. But it began long time ago. When do you think Christ's suffering, mental suffering began? I am going to quote today from a chapter from Mark Jones's book. And I've been quoting this book a lot, and I believe this is a very important book. But this was really an eye-opener for me, Mark Jones's Knowing Christ. Let me read you a portion from his book, chapter Christ's Reading. And he says this, as one who read the Old Testament scriptures, Jesus learned of his suffering and glory. The Holy Spirit, aiding Christ's mental and spiritual faculties, brought to life the words of God that foreordained Christ's death. What he's trying to say is, when and where did it begin? Christ thinking about his future suffering, the to be acquainted with sorrow. Mark Jones says, well, it began when he started reading God's word. Something like Psalm 22. After this, if you could read Psalm 22, it predicts Christ's suffering in detail. When he learned about his own suffering in the Bible, that's when he learned about what he was going to suffer. So if I were to ask you, okay, do you want to know, if possible, the day that you are going to die? What would you say? If somebody said, you know, I know the day that you are going to die, would you like to know? I would probably say no. I mean, I do not want to know when exactly I'm going to die. But some of you may say, you know, I want to know the date that I'm going to die. But what about someone comes along and says, hey, do you want to know how you are going to die that day? What would you say? By the way, it is going to be very ugly, horrible death that you are going to die. I probably say no, you know, I don't need that details. I don't want to know the details of death. But for Christ, his gruesome death was written down in the Old Testament. So as he read more and more about future suffering that he was going to suffer, but also thinking about human sins, the sins of the church that he had to put upon himself. That long time ago from eternity, he had made this pact with the Father, the Pactum Salutis, the covenant of redemption. He was a sorrowful man. But what did he do? How did he respond? So was he depressed? Thomas Goodwin said this, it would be miserable for us to know what we shall undergo in this world, for the thoughts of it beforehand would hurt us. The anxiety of it would trouble us. It is better for us to be ignorant of it. But Christ, he had strength in him. He could know what he would suffer, he should suffer, and foresee it, and yet keep his mind quiet and composed. As you see, he did till it came to the very instant. So what Christ had to do, knowing what he will suffer, but he was able to be composed and calm manner, he had to live his life for 30 years. That's something that you could pray for. We are not obviously going to die in such a fashion. We are not going to be crucified. We are not going to die on someone's behalf. But Christ did. But the pressure that he had to go through, the anxiety, the anxious mind that he had to calm himself for 30 years, what did he do? Obviously, he had to read God's word, because God's word talked about not only his suffering, but about his future glory. But that's why also you see in the Gospels, he went to pray. You see, he also was troubled. He also was anxious, but he had to go to the Father in prayer to calm his nerves. But listen to the applications of this, all the things that I just talked about. First, we could be a thankful people, confident people, and humble people, knowing that we have not a mere doctrine or teaching or promise for heaven, but we have a Savior Jesus Christ who has suffered in every possible way, who could sympathize with our weaknesses. So our peace is grounded in the person of Jesus Christ. Second, he could sympathize, according to the Bible, with my suffering. But what good is it for us to know simply that he could sympathize with us? But we could be thankful that our God in Christ, he shows mercy to us, the sinners. B.B. Warfield says this, "The emotion which we naturally expect to find most frequently attributed to Jesus is compassion." Jones says this, "Jesus actively perceived the sufferings of others and sought to relieve them of such. His mercy extended to the whole person, body and soul." Our comfort lies in Christ, who knows what it means to suffer, and he could sympathize with us. But also, Christ is the one who shows mercy. And that is a good news for us. Third application is, Mark Jones once again says this, "To know Christ involves our will and emotions." Many of us, we know Christ mentally and intellectually. But this is the time that we could know him emotionally. In Psalm 90, verse 12 says this, and Christ, reading this, what did he do? He numbered his days as he contemplated the fleeting character of his earthly life, and he made every day count. He thought about his death. He had to number his days, how many days he had, and he made every day count. So think about that. The last one is, you could think about other Christians around the world who are under persecution. You know, we are obviously suffering, but compare this to what other Christians are suffering. It induces us to pray for them. It induces us to pray for missionaries. It induces us to give for the cause of the gospel around the world. So brothers and sisters, as I said, go deeper into Christ. He will show you his suffering, his resurrection, his glory, and his comfort.